Hi there, and thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Registers of Scotland podcast, celebrating International Women's Day 2024. We are delighted to be joined by three founders from our current Accelerator Programme cohort, taking listeners on a journey of their experience starting out in entrepreneurship to now, discussing why females make great entrepreneurs, successes, challenges, and how Geovation Scotland has helped them on the way. For those of you who don't know, I'll give you a quick introduction of who Geovation Scotland are. We're the only support organisation specifically designed to support early stage startups innovating in land, property and location technology, a partnership between Registers of Scotland and Ordnance Survey. We support founders in two ways, a bespoke accelerator programme targeted at very early stage companies and an engaged community of SMEs, entrepreneurs and supporters. To date, we have supported 23 companies through our programmes who have gone on to raise in excess of £3.5 million of additional inward investment and created 66 new jobs. I'm Jess Sibley, and I'm the delivery lead for Geovation Scotland. And for the last nearly 5 years, I've been running the Accelerator programme. I am also joined today by my colleague and co-host, Alex Gordon. Alex, can I get you to give a quick intro?
Hello, I'm Alex Gordon. I'm the Community and Engagement Manager here at Geovation Scotland. I run our online community here in Geovation Scotland and keep our founders and entrepreneurs and supporters up to date with news and insights from the industry. I'm involved with running our mentorship programme and also create a place for those innovating in land, property and location data to get together and innovate.
Thanks, Alex. And Alex and I only make up half of the Geovation Scotland team. We also have Lindsay Duggan, who is the head of ROS's Innovation and Geovation Scotland, and also Angie Clark, who is our admin support and essentially the backbone of everything we do. Very proud all-female team. So enough about us. Time to say hello to our founders. We're joined today by Zoe, Cindy and Grant. Can I ask you all to introduce yourselves one by one? Let's start with you, Zoe.
Hi, I'm Zoe Russell, co-founder of Rethink Carbon, a climate tech startup based in Aviemore in the Scottish Highlands. Our platform helps tackle climate change by allowing land managers to make informed decisions, factoring in commercial sustainability, biodiversity and carbon capture and storage.
Awesome. Thanks, Zoe. Over to you, Cindy.
Hi, I'm Cindy Regalado, and I am the co-founder of Make Your Path, which supports those who don't necessarily see themselves as being into fitness to improve their health and well-being through physical activity. And we have a dual approach where we help both clinicians and employers to help tackle low levels of patient adherence and also promoting good health and well-being among staff.
Thanks, Cindy. Over to you, Grant.
I'm Garen Sucatelli and I'm the co-founder of Marked Wayfinding System. Marked is a holistic cycle navigation system that helps to get more people to cycle and addressing the fact that most people know how to ride a bike but wouldn't feel comfortable using it as a mean of transportation.
Awesome. Thank you so much all for joining us today. So the companies that we're going to hear from today, Rethink Carbon, Make Your Path and Marked Wayfinding System, are all early stage startups, but slightly different stages, I would say, of the early stage journey. So I'm going to pass over to Alex to kick us off with the first couple of questions for you guys.
Thanks, Jess. So through this podcast, we really want to take the listeners on a bit of a journey, kind of starting off with how you got started with your company, or I know for you, Grant, that you got involved with Marked at a slightly later stage. So I think perhaps we could start with you, Grants, and kind of talk about how you got involved in Marked Wayfinding System, but also how that's been for you, how you found the kind of initial steps of kind of starting out with Marked, and I guess the kind of journey as a co-founder there.
So yes, I started working with Mark on the Marked Wayfinding System project maybe 3 or 4 months after he started. Knew Mark from the university, so knew we could work together. Got involved because he asked me if I wanted to be the co-founder, and for me it was at this time it was a no-brainer because it was the opportunity to work on a project on which I shared the same values, which was to push more people for sustainable travel options. So it was something I shared, and so I got involved in July, and I moved back from France to Scotland in September. And I guess the first, the early month were a lot about learning about the industry. Mark, having worked in the industry, knew a lot more. So for me, it was a lot of catch up to do as well on active travel, what it is, what's behavioral change and all those notions. So the first few months were really trying to catch back Mark on the knowledge he had on the project, that it'd be the strategy, but also all the knowledge on the industry. So yeah, I guess the first month from September to December was putting myself as well in this role of being the co-founder. And I really feel that since January, we're driving this project together forward.
And I know this is kind of moving away from Marked a little bit, but you've been involved in a startup before, is that right? Before Marked. Were you the co-founder there or were you...
No, so it wasn't a startup. I guess you mean the association. Maybe yeah. I was part when yeah. So when I was studying in France, I was part of an union or an association that was working social entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. The role of this association was how could we promote all the initiatives that it be social and environmental that were present in the city. So that was through events that it be just bringing them together. We call this the forum, where we just brought all the initiatives together during one day. But we also published a wee book referencing every addresses that were doing something in the city that was linked to social impact or environmental impact.
Great. And Zoe, what about you? With Rethink Carbon, when did you and Mark come up? We've got lots of Marks in our current cohort, by the way, for anyone listening. It's not all the same Mark. But when did you and Mark kind of come up with the initial idea for Rethink? And yeah, when did you were involved right from the get-go, is that right?
Yeah, so me and my co-founder, Mark Caulfield, worked together in a company called Ginger prior to forming Rethink Carbon. And in 2021, we applied to the Scottish Government CivTech Accelerator. We were answering a challenge about how can technology be used to help land managers make more informed decisions and store more carbon. And my background's ecology and land management, and Mark is the tech genius. So we thought it was the perfect thing for us to go for. So we got accepted and went through the accelerator program, and we formed Rethink Carbon out of that so we could take forward our platform with a new company.
So CivTech was pretty kind of, I guess, like quite a main part of your kind of forming of the company then, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think we'd always built software for other people. So the opportunity to build our own product was, we were quite excited about that. And CivTech was the great place to start.
And then on to you, Cindy. What about you? When did you kind of come up with the initial idea for Make Your Path? And yeah, how's your journey as a founder for Make Your Path been so far?
Yeah, I had a little bit of a pivot, actually a big pivot. And so our company is only 3 months old. It really was about digging deep into and being truthful to my passions. So the previous company is very, very different from this one. So it was really about digging in deep to see what it was that I wanted to work on and dedicate myself to for a long while and give it 120, maybe 200% of me. So it was a no-brainer, since I'm really passionate about health due to my own journey as a patient. And then, finally finding a co-founder that was equally passionate about health and especially using digital technologies for health.
Great. And I think I'm going to come back to you again, Cindy, and I'll go back around, but just kind of thinking about the resources that have been really useful to you as a founder, during your kind of early stages. I know there's so much information out there in the kind of startup and entrepreneurial ecosystem. And I'm just wondering if I'll go around everyone and kind of if there's one place that you look for resources, or if there's specific programs, or I mean, obviously, I know you've all been on the Duvation program, but I don't know if there's any, when you were kind of starting out in those kind of initial early stages, where did you look for advice and help on how to set up a business, or what the kind of initial processes were? Just for anyone who's listening, who's like, I'm thinking about starting a business, but I don't know where to begin.
Yeah, so I had previous experience of starting a business. The previous business, we just threw ourselves into it, my co-founder and I. And so having had experience of throwing yourself into a situation was very helpful. But I have to say that in terms of most useful resources, Duvation Scotland has offered us really, really useful tools online, in particular to help us plan out our value proposition. And that was so, so helpful. So I would say that those resources online, to put all of our thoughts and building on those online over time, has been extremely useful. For me personally, because I think in diagrams, what has been really useful as well is two books that have been quite useful. One of them is the Value Proposition Design book, as well, that we've used for Duvation Scotland, but then also another book called Disciplined Entrepreneurship, which has been very, very good at keeping us following a specific path and steps towards building our ideas and testing our ideas.
Great. And you, Zoe, any particular sources of information that have been your go-to throughout the process?
Well, I also had the experience of sort of running a business prior to Rethink Carbon. And for me, probably going through multiple accelerator programs is really useful. So CivTech, we also did the Highlands and Islands Enterprise Pathfinder Accelerator, and now Duvation Scotland as well. So, and it wasn't so much, I think, about how to set up and run a business. It was more about the product and how to tackle that side of it. And one of the best things about being on all the accelerators is meeting other people that are on similar journeys and at different stages. So we got lots of advice from them.
Great. And Grant?
With Mark, we studied at Strathclyde University doing the social entrepreneurship course. So we kind of had the dictionary about entrepreneurship, but then it was about how to use it. And I agree with you. So we went through we really used the Disciplined Entrepreneurship book, but also Effectual Entrepreneurship. And another one was Let My People Go Surfing from Yvon Chouinard, which is basically Patagonia business way of doing business. And then the last one, I really agree with you, Zoe, is being part of accelerators since the beginning. So we've been enrolled with Duvation Scotland, Strathclyde Inspire, but also Transport for Wales, a 10-week accelerator program. And doing it every time is kind of nailing into you the whole business model canva, the value proposition, and how you understand those tools better. And it's been very useful to push our project forward and get us to the next level.
I guess sticking on that note around kind of entrepreneurial things, I'm interested to know a bit more about the highlights of your different journeys so far. So you've all been on slightly different paths. Some have created businesses before and been involved in other businesses before. And I'm keen to know, like, what has been the highlight so far? And has there been something that has been pivotal to you remaining in entrepreneurship? And I'll go to you, Garance, first.
Yeah, so on my end, it was the first business. So it was already a first big step, thinking, oh, I'm the co-founder now. I've got my own email address with my name and my company. It's quite class. I was quite happy with it. I guess another highlight was doing the first call on my own. Because the first one, I was doing them with Mark. It was like working on the pitch and everything. But when you do your first customer call, or even the first interview, where you're on your own and you're pitching your project and trying to understand as well the other end, it was something big for me. And I guess the last one is we did a pitch in front with the Transport for Wales Accelerator. And this one was live and in front of a big crowd, at least 60 people. It was something huge to be there in front of 60 people and pitching your project. That was a big, big highlight for me as well.
Zoe, over to you.
Well, the highlights have probably been that people really liked our whole idea and that they gave us funding. So we've been really lucky to get funding from South Scotland Enterprise and Census to enable us to build our platform and carry on with the work.
Thank you. And how about you, Cindy?
I've got a bit of more of a personal highlight again, just because we're so early stage. I think I've come really to the realization that a lot of business books say that entrepreneurship is not a solo sport. So I guess finding a co-founder that complements me and who brings tremendous knowledge in the health space and experience, is a great highlight. Specifically, the highlight was the 7-hour workshop that Amit and I had the second time we met each other. Time just flew by. Where we were hashing out all of our passions, our knowledge, our interests, and then mapping that out to identify the problems that were most pressing, but also the ones that we were most suited to solve together. And that was just a great moment after 7 hours of being together and hashing out what is this company going to look like.
Thank you. At Geovation Scotland, we are super proud that the current cohort that we have are either all female-founded or co-founded. And overall, of the companies that we've supported over the last 5 years, just under half of the companies are female-founded or co-founded. But generally speaking, the Pathways report that came out in 2023 found that 1 in 5 entrepreneurs in Scotland are female, and only 2% of investment capital goes to female-founded businesses. So women receive less investment at all stages of the entrepreneurial journey. And I guess I wanted to have a chat with you a little bit about why you think females make great entrepreneurs and what additional support do you think is needed in this sector? Can I pass you first, Grants?
I do think that as being a woman, sometimes you're faced with, let's say, barriers, and you kind of have to have this mindset of pushing through no matter what, even if you think might be not the most important, but even if you've got like your menstrual cramps every month, you push through. And I think it's a mindset as well of knowing that you're going forward anyway. And I do think that this is an important skill to have. And the other one is that I feel women have an important emotional intelligence and empathy. And I think it's just really important in the way we should be doing business. And maybe empathy and emotional intelligence has been left too much on the side. And we need it to make, I think we need it to make business that are more socially and environmentally aware and, yeah, create great place to work in.
Obviously, we talked about the fact that only 1 in 5 entrepreneurs in Scotland are female, and only 2% of their overall investment capital is going to female-founded businesses. What additional support do you think is needed, or would you like to see change?
I think women make good entrepreneurs is, you know, we're pretty good at multitasking and being organised. So that helps. I think it takes a special type of person to be an entrepreneur, regardless of whether you're male or female. And it's maybe just that females just haven't had the chance or been aware of the opportunities that have been out there. And I think now there are many more opportunities and you know, maybe we feel more able to take them up now.
And I saw, and I'm aware of recently, you've been involved with some things with Accelerate Her. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I got asked to do a fireside chat with them in Inverness back in November. So that was really good fun. Just, you know, talked about my journey and how I got to where I am. And I'm also taking part in their showcase event in March, doing a pitch about Rethink. And the support is amazing. It's really nice to be in a room full of women who are all really supportive and, get out the questions that you might not be comfortable asking in a room full of men.
Brilliant. Thank you. And same question to you as well, Cindy.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with Zoe in that whether female or not, being an entrepreneur requires some very, very specific skills. It's like a different kind of creature being an entrepreneur. You have to be willing to be, a risk taker, being very determined, also very persistent, not giving up. But also being very curious, but very confident, which I think is a problem in general that maybe women tend to have. And yet being humble as well, which is, I think, something that women bring through the entrepreneurship space. I think that what's really important about female founders and what makes female founders great is that they present role models that are currently maybe not in existence as much. Growing up, I think there were very few that I had. And the few I had were very, very strong. So I think we need more of those female entrepreneurs that can be role models and support for other founders, but also for younger generations. And one last thing I'll say, I think, is it's a practical one, actually. Not having female entrepreneurs essentially means ignoring 50% of the world population in terms of designing solutions for them or from the perspective of women. I think you also had another question about what support is currently needed. And if I can say a little bit on that, I think more training in venture for women is really important. Investment is male dominated, and minorities are also underrepresented. So I think in order to build more trust in women, we need more women who are trained in venture and have those capabilities in the investment world to help women out more.
Thanks, Cindy. And yeah, I would absolutely agree on the venture front. I think there's definitely a lot more education that needs to be done around that piece. This is kind of one of our final questions, and it's one that I want to kind of for us to discuss quite openly, because I just want to hear what everyone's opinions are. But, you know, there's the notion of a female founder or a founder. Like, what do we think we should be calling female founders? Do you think we should be calling them out and saying female founders? Or do we think a female founder is just a founder, or not just a founder, but a female founder is a founder and we shouldn't be calling it out? And I think it's an interesting one. And I'll maybe start off by giving my thoughts on it, just because I have some kind of opinions. And when I kind of started writing the brief for this podcast and thinking about what I wanted to achieve in this podcast, I was thinking, no, like, they're founders, they're not necessarily just female founders. But then when I did some of the research into the differences when it comes to investment for female founded businesses, and the kind of proportion of female founded businesses in Scotland in comparison to male founded businesses in Scotland, I feel like there maybe is a need. I personally feel like there is a need to call out female founders until there's a bit more equality in the system, to make sure that there's more opportunities being created, to make sure that there's more of a focus on encouraging female entrepreneurship. And that's just my thoughts, but I'm really interested to hear what everyone else has to say around it. But yeah, who'd like to go first? Yeah, Cindy, go for it.
I was discussing this question with my co-founder yesterday, and actually we pretty much agree with what you say, Alex. And on the one hand, I think that women could be patronized, and if they're singled out, it is, I think, under certain circumstances, not important to make that differentiation and to treat women as, you know, what they are, entrepreneurs. However, equally on the other hand, it is really important to create that space specifically for women, for growth, give them that very dedicated, specific support to nurture female-led talent, to ensure that that space continues to grow until we do reach, closer equality.
Yeah, I kind of agree as well. I think it'd be really nice to get to the place where we can just say founders, and it shouldn't matter whether we're female or male. I don't think we're quite there yet, and I think we've got to push the whole female founder thing to get it out there and get the support that we need. But yeah, getting to that place where we don't need to use it would be great.
Yeah, and I guess I don't have much to add about this. I've never, though, used a name tag like I'm a female founder. I'll always say I'm a founder, because I don't want to be understood as a subcategory of entrepreneurship. But I guess there's still work to be done. And I'm able to feel that confident of saying I'm a founder because some women did the work before as well. So we need to push it for more women to feel comfortable to jump into entrepreneurship. And as you said, both of you, to just use this name founders for anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from a support organisation's point of view, like Geovation Scotland are, I think it's something that we have to kind of, I think it's good for us to kind of check ourselves and to be aware and educate ourselves around the differences in opportunities and make sure that we are, yeah, I think just kind of keeping up to date and keeping track of our data and making sure that we are being representative. But also there's, I think there's a lot to be done in the kind of support ecosystem. There's a lot being done already as a result of the Pathways report. But it's, yeah, I think it's something that needs to kind of, it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight, is it? So, but I think there's more of a focus now than there ever has been. And it's really great to see. So
just really to echo everything that everyone else has said, I think, you know, I said about the figures before for Duvation Scotland, and that's something that we're mega proud of. But I think we have our place to be doing that support, like Alex said. We have our place to be making sure that we are offering the opportunities, that we are going out there and speaking to places like Accelerate Her, places like Invest in Women, places that are supporting founders and also female founders and women in entrepreneurship. So I think, yeah, that's really it from me. Has anyone else got anything they'd like to add?
Thank you. It's been great being part of this.
Yeah, just thanks for having us. It's really nice to get together for a chat.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity and giving us the time to chat.
I'm really grateful for you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules to record this podcast with us. Thanks for sharing your experiences and thoughts on female entrepreneurship. To the listeners, if you'd like to find out more about Duvation Scotland, our accelerator programme, or are interested in joining our community, you can find out how to do this in the podcast description. We encourage you to take a look there. You will also find within the description links to all the resources mentioned today, along with further information on the other support organisations. We encourage you to have a look at this. Please subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/registers of Scotland. This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks again for listening.